This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. It's the Mike Francesa Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Mike Francesa Podcast. Now we are down to the Elite Eight. We will get to the matchups and what happened on Friday. We'll also throw in some baseball. The Mets, usually the conquerors of opening day, had a very rough one. And we'll talk about the Yankees, who are now 2-0 on the season after tonight's win against the Astros. So a good start for the Bombers. But first, to the basketball. And let me start with Marquette. I told you last night that I thought NC State would keep it close, that they would have played with the points, but that I thought Marquette would win the game. They were a seven-point favorite. Marquette played about as nightmarish game as they could ever play. They let NC State jump out quickly. They were ice cold from three, and they remained ice cold from three all day. They couldn't even hit their free throws. They didn't do a good job with the turnovers that they got against NC State, and then they just played such stupid basketball in the second half when they did have a chance to close the gap a couple of times. Give NC State credit for what they've accomplished and the run they're on. Now they go all the way to the Elite Eight, where they will find another ACC team staring them in the face after Duke's win over Houston. But NC State opened up a big lead, held off Marquette, and again, Marquette had a lot of good looks from three. Give them credit for getting some of them rushed. Give NC State credit for some defense early in the game. But I thought Marquette had a lot of good looks from three. They didn't go down. And they played an awful game. They couldn't make a free throw. Guys had nightmarish games. And Marquette fell in what had to be a very disappointing game for them and an amazing tournament now for NC State, which had to win to keep their coach's job in the ACC. Had to win the tournament to get into the NCAA tournament, did that, upset the field in the ACC tournament, and now a lot of people thought they'd go out in the first round. They now find themselves in the Elite Eight and staring at an ACC team in Duke. I'll get to Duke in a second. First, let me talk about Purdue and Gonzaga. I thought this game could be close. I thought it would be close. It wasn't. Purdue put them away in the second half. It was a very big Purdue crowd, which I expected. But Gonzaga didn't do the things it had to do, and Purdue was red hot. And, you know, if Purdue's going to be red hot from the field, if they are going to give the big man that kind of support, well, then they're not going to get beat. That's all there is to it. I mean, Purdue was deadly from three early. They wound up shooting 9-for-20 from three for the game. Edie came up with another good performance, 27 points, 14 rebounds. They got a terrific performance from Smith, 14 points and 15 assists. And again, Purdue did everything it needed to do. It got the supporting cast going. It had to be the big man. And now they will be waiting. And this has meant so much to Purdue. They have hope for this. They knew they were going to get a big break in Indianapolis. Now they have a huge home field advantage in Detroit because their fans have showed up in droves. I mean, it sounds like they're in West Lafayette. It really does. It sounds like they're in their arena, the way it sounds. That's how big a support they have, and they will have that against Tennessee, which held off Creighton. Both teams made big runs in the second half. Tennessee's was more deadly, an 18-0 run. Creighton came back and actually got it down to 2 points, but Tennessee was the tougher team. Tennessee got a very big performance, a very good performance from their star. He did a very good job in the game. He, you know, made the shots that had to be made, and Connect wound up with 26 points. And Tennessee, which had only been 1-7 in the Sweet 16, has never been, and this is a program that's had a lot of success, has never been to a Final Four. And now they are one step away, but the step is a very big one, as they will have to beat Purdue in what will be a hostile arena. They will have to beat Purdue and the big man. And I think in that game, I'll get to it in a minute as I talk about the four games on the weekend. First, let me finish up with the other game. And it was a heartbreaking one for Houston and a really gut check win for Duke. The big story, of course, Houston has gotten banged up as the season has progressed. They've been very, very shallow on the bench. They lost a couple of key contributors. And then in this game, in the first half, their All-America guard, who is the heart and soul of the team in every way, goes down with an ankle sprain, goes to the locker room. They had a 16-10 lead when he left. And that was it. Listen, am I going to tell you that Houston would have automatically won this game if Shedd had played? I can't say that. But what I can say is they lost the game by 3 points. They had two or three opportunities to tie it in the final minute and in the final seconds. They lost by 3 points. They played without one of the top three or four players in the country the entire second half. Not only that, he is their heart, their soul, their quarterback, their whole deal. And losing him was an enormous loss. And it's just, you know, the kind of break that you get sometimes. It's got to be heartbreaking. But here's the thing about this game. If you watched it, you noticed this. If you didn't, I'll tell you exactly what happened. Houston came out against Duke and imposed their will. They got four turnovers very quickly. Duke looked extremely rattled. Houston was up 6-0. They missed a couple of chippies. They could have been up 10-11-0. They were up 8-0. They called a timeout. Duke did. Good timeout. Settled them down. And I want to give credit to Flipowski, because at that moment, Houston was imposing its will. They were taking the ball to the basket. They were getting offensive rebounds. They were playing over the top of Duke. They were cutting off every passing lane for Duke. They were dominating over screens. They were intimidating Duke completely. And you could see Flipowski say to his teammates, he first of all grabbed a shot at 8-0 and hit an enormous three. But you could see him say to his teammates, listen, let's go. Let's get in there. Let's get on the backboards. And they started to battle because he started to battle. And they put Young in, who fouled out. But Young had 4 points and four rebounds before he fouled out. He played a rugged game, and he threw his weight around. And Flipowski and Young basically said to the rest of the Duke team, we're not backing down, okay? Get in here. Mix it up. And they had come back right in the middle of the first half to where it was going to be a ball game. It was going to be a good ball game. They were playing them even. They were playing them physically. They were no longer going to get pushed around. They were starting to run their offense a little bit. They came out the second half. They run their offense better. They knew when the second half started that Shedd wasn't going to play. All right? He was on the bench. He had gone to the locker room before the half. They came out at halftime, said he had a severely sprained ankle. He wasn't going to play anymore. We all know what kind of loss that was. You're taking the best player, not only the best player off the team, you're taking one of the best three or four players. He's one of the four finalists for the Wooden Award. He's one of the best players in the country. He's a first-team All-America. Okay, the bottom line is he is their heart and soul. And he's not playing anymore. Did it change the game? Yes. It hurt them defensively, but it hurt them more offensively. It really hurt them the way they ran their offense and how they played the rest of the way. And they struggled to score the rest of the way. They really did. And both teams struggled in the first half to score, but they struggled to score a lot. But they kept coming back because they're tenacious and they're tough and they have a great program. And they battled back in the game. And it was a rough physical game, and Duke didn't back down. Give them credit for that. Do I think Houston would have won if Shedd played? I do. But it doesn't matter. He didn't play. And you know what? Give Duke credit for saying after the game, hey, you know, our heart goes out to them. We know what kind of program they have. And to see him go down was tough. All right, you want to beat the best, but you want to beat him at full strength. Well, it didn't happen. But Duke didn't back down, and they didn't back down before he went down. Now, Houston still led by 6 when he was on the court. They led 16-10, which in that game was a big lead. But, you know, these things happen. And they've happened to Houston a couple of times now. They have gotten, after having great seasons, they have gotten some really bad breaks physically in these tournaments. What are you going to do? So Duke, much maligned, showed great toughness against James Madison in that romping win, and then comes back and plays a really tough game against an undermanned Houston team, which lost their star, and wins it 54-51. Flipowski did a great job. Roach had a big second half, putting up points when they needed points, making shots when they needed shots to be made, and they held off Houston, which had a couple of cracks at it. They inbounded the ball with they played one last possession. Flipowski took a shot, didn't go down. They would have gone up 5. Houston got the ball, ran a play, got the ball knocked out of bounds. They went for a 2, got it knocked out of bounds, inbounded the ball with 8.9 left. They were only on 4 fouls, so they no longer could foul, so they had to go for 3. They went for the 3, it didn't go down, and the ball got knocked around. They inbounded with 0.8, and Duke's a winner. So Duke plays ACC brethren, NC State. So Duke versus NC State, the 11 and the 4, will battle for a trip to the Final Four. Alabama plays Clemson. UConn plays Illinois tomorrow. NC State plays Duke on Sunday. Purdue plays Tennessee on Sunday. That's what you have left for the Final Four. You have UConn, the number one team, the dominant team in the country out of the Big East. You have Illinois and Purdue out of the Big Ten. You have Alabama and Tennessee out of the SEC. And you have Clemson, NC State, and Duke out of the ACC. That's what's left as we get down to the Elite Eight. Now, tomorrow, Alabama, 3-point choice over Clemson. Clemson has done a great job in this tournament. There's 2 keys to their success. Well, really 3. Their bigs have done a really outstanding job. Unsung guys have done a really outstanding job. But 2 big keys for Clemson. They have gotten out quick to leads and sizable leads in all their games. And they have shut down the opposing 3-point game in every game. And they shut down Arizona's in a big way. Alabama has one of the great 3-point shooting lineups in America. I do not believe Clemson can shut down the Alabama 3-point game. I think it is too varied. I think it is too quick. I think they're too good. I think they have 4 guys who can bury it, led by Sears, who has unlimited range. and could go off for 35, 40 points at any time. I think Alabama wins the game. Now, I picked Alabama to go to Final Four anyway, so I would pick them here. But I think Alabama's going to win the game against Clemson. I think it's going to be a good game. I think Alabama's going to win. And I think it'll be the Sears and their three-point shooting that leads Oates and his Crimson Tide to a Final Four. UConn, Illinois. UConn has won its last eight NCAA tournament games dating back to last year when they ran the table by at least 13 points, an NCAA record, an all-time NCAA record. They have won those games by an average of 23 points. They are an 8.5-point favorite over Illinois. Why? Because Illinois is playing that well. Now, Illinois, in my estimation, now we could bring in the big man in Edey, and I'm hoping for that matchup in the championship game, Purdue against UConn. I'd love to see it with the two big men. I understand that I think UConn has the better supporting cast, but that's a matchup. The only other matchup that I could think that could be as dangerous for UConn is Illinois. Why? Because Illinois has size. They have athleticism. They can play both ends of the floor. And they have a great player and probably the best scoring player in the country in Shannon. He has averaged over 30 points and is going back to the Big Ten tournament. He has averaged over 30 points a game in the Big Ten and AC, in the Big Ten and the NCAA tournament games. He is a tremendous talent. They have size. They have versatility. They will not be intimidated. Now, for them to pull the upset, which I do not think will happen, I think it'll be a good showing by Illinois and by Shannon, but I think that UConn will wear them down and finally beat them by double digits. But if they are going to win the game, they are going to have to do a couple of things really well. They are going to have to neutralize the glass. They cannot let UConn pound them on the offensive glass. I do not think that that will be an issue. I think Illinois will do well in that regard. They have to hit threes. I think they will have to hit a minimum of 14 threes to win the game. To win the game. Not to stay close, to win the game. And I think Shannon will have to have over 30 points for them to win the game. I think if they don't have 14 threes and 30 points out of Shannon, they won't win the game. I don't think they'll win the game. I think UConn's winning it all. I think this is... I bet you'll hear this tomorrow from UConn that this team scared them in preparation and this team was a very dangerous matchup on a couple of different levels. This is a very interesting matchup for UConn. One of the better ones they have faced in a while. It'll be a very interesting game. NC State, Duke, and Purdue, Tennessee. We'll wait until after tomorrow's games are played. Give me some time to digest them. I don't even have the lines on them yet. And I will give you those. I'm going to tell you right now, I think Purdue's going to win because I don't think Edey will be denied, nor will Purdue be denied. I think the one thing that worries me from Tennessee's standpoint is their toughness and their physicality, I think, could turn out to hurt them in this game because it could get them, get key guys in foul trouble. Because Edie is very good at getting the other team's front lines in big-time foul trouble. He gets to the foul line a lot. And I'm going to be honest with you, he gets a couple of calls. Now, in the other game, I need some time to think about it. I think it's a very competitive game. I'm not selling NC State short. I like a lot of things I've seen from NC State. They have on a major roll. They are very durable. They have a lot of guys who can go one-on-one and make a shot. And that's what you need in these. When the shot clock's winding down, you need somebody who can make a shot. They have a bunch of guys who can do that. That's how you win games in this tournament, especially late. So we'll get to those two later. I think tomorrow, Illinois will be a formidable foe, but UConn will finally wear them down and win by double digits. And I think Alabama will be the winner in the other game. So I think UConn and Alabama will advance. Now to baseball. Let me take the Yankees first. Come from behind again. Take advantage of the Astros, who continue to do a lot of things wrong, whether it's walking people in key spots or, in this game, two colossal errors that led to the Yankees breaking the game open, which they did. The Yankee bullpen has done a tremendous job over 2 days. Astros have put up runs early. Yesterday, first and second inning, and then no more. Today, first inning, then no more. And the Yankees now are 2-0, winning two games in Houston. So it's a very, very good start for them. Two more games in Houston. So getting the first two there. Stroman goes to the mound tomorrow. And then they'll be there Sunday. Very, very good couple of days for the Yankees against their nemesis in Houston. Now for the Mets. We all know the lore of the Mets on opening day. They find a way to win. Their record has been unbelievable. No matter whether the team is good, bad, or indifferent, they win on opening day. Well, today wasn't one of those days. On a sunny but chilly with a lot of wind today, the Mets ran into a very good pitcher who was on in Peralta, who, you know, threw the heck out of the ball today. You know he's going to always, when he's on, you know he's always going to get a bunch of strikeouts. He did today against the Mets. The Mets get one hit in the game. A home run into the wind by Marte, who almost hit a second one to right field that was caught up against the wall by the Brewers' young leadoff hitter. You know, they gave that kid $82 million out of the minors for 8 years. Cheerio. The 20-year-old right fielder who caught the ball up against the fence. Peralta was, you know, pitched six innings, gave up one hit, the home run, struck out eight, pitched real well. Their bullpen did the job, obviously, didn't give up a hit over three innings, so it did a very good job. Quintana was okay. He wasn't good. He wasn't bad. You know, he gave up a couple of runs, but it was enough today. So the Mets struck out a lot, didn't hit at all, and had a listless 3-1 loss today to open the season. So not exactly what you were hoping for. You had the incident at second base with Hoskins, you know, who's had bad blood going back to the Phillies. He and McNeil's been upset about some of his slides around second base before. Today, he thought he was trying to take his leg out. It wasn't ruled because it was a legal slide, but it could have injured McNeil, who wasn't expecting it, I don't think. Do they retaliate? We'll see. We'll see how they play it. But for day one, the Mets didn't offer their faithful very much anything except a Marte home run. To get one hit on opening day, you know, is a tough one. You know, especially when you're trying to, you know, promote some good tidings and some good feelings to go out there, you know, on a cold day, sit there for nine innings with your wool hat on, you know, you're happy that it's baseball, happy that the sun's shining, but it's freezing in the stands and the wind's whipping like crazy. And, you know, you're there and the Mets get one hit over nine innings, makes for a tough, tough outing for the day. So not the way you want to start the season. Hey, it is what it is. It's only one game, but the Mets are usually on the sunny side of the street after opening day. They're not this time, and they really took it on the chin and got really pitched to very, very well. Mets struck out 10 times, only had, you know, three base runners, nothing to talk about, no excitement, no, you know, buzz, no rallies, no nothing. They didn't get to, you know, put the closer back in action, you know. Hey, another day maybe, but they were hoping for that, obviously, since he's back, you know, now trying to, you know, build on his year of 2 years ago after the unfortunate injury last year. But one hit on opening day is a very, very tough way to start the season. That's all there is to it. We'll see how things go in game number two. But for day one, it was a very, very sad day for the Mets and a very, very good evening for the Yankees and a very, very tough night for the Houston Cougars, who again, have their hearts broken in this NCAA tournament. And an injury led to their demise in a tough 54-51 loss to the Duke Blue Devils, who are in the Elite Eight against NC State, which upset Marquette. So Purdue wins as a favorite. Tennessee wins as a slight favorite over Creighton. And NC State and Duke win as underdogs. And now they'll square off, and one of them is going to the Final Four, a place where NC State hasn't been in a very long time, and a place that Duke, you know, has never stopped calling home. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Mike Francesa podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.